And we had this seminar in algebraic geometry. We were talking about HL cohomology, and Spencer, new to Cambridge, was giving a talk. I'd never seen him before. And he was saying something about something technical about HL cohomology, and some nasty person in the audience, and could well have been me, pointed out a big hole in what he was saying, you know, justifying some argument. So Spencer paused for about a minute, 30 seconds, and then just repaired it right there and then. So that was my first impression, and I was certainly very impressed. Well, then I went to Princeton, but Spencer followed me. It seemed very strange. And within a year, there he was across the hall from me in Princeton, and he was musing away in his office, and this was the time that block formula was being developed, and I remember Spencer thinking about this and Bill Messin coming to Spencer's office, and it was really a fun time. But I needed to escape, so I went to Chicago, and Spencer went to Michigan, but he couldn't stay away, and so he followed, and he came to Chicago a year or so later, and we've been in each other's hair, believe it or not, if you look at either of us. We've been in each other's hair ever since. So what I'm going to talk about today is some thoughts about algebraic cycles. Modulo algebraic equivalence. Well, I have nothing really new or interesting to say, but this will give me an excuse to mention various works of Spencer and various odd end things that I've done along the way, which are almost orthogonal to the way Spencer's thought about it. But in the end, you'll see, or you already know, that we know very little about algebraic cycles, modulo algebraic equivalence. So I guess I was going to mention a few papers, just because all the co-authors, I think, are in the room, too, so people would maybe wake up at 9:45 in the morning if they see their name on the blackboard. So the first paper that certainly somewhat influenced me was a paper of Spencer's and Arthur's. This was in Annales Scientifiques, they call them Annales Supérieures, in 1974. And so some of what I've done with some co-authors is develop a Bloch-Ogas type theory and related things, which we'll see in a moment, which came out of this paper. And this paper really, in some sense, hints at many things that relate cycles modulo algebraic equivalence to more familiar things. So, for example, let's let X be, it need not be, but a projective and even smooth variety. I guess both of these are. And let's suppose it's over the complex numbers. We need not be that either, so we'll put that in parentheses also, but whenever necessary, we'll do that. And then let this be R cycles mod algebraic equivalence. Mod rational equivalence, the Chow groups. And I want to write like this, all R cycles mod nothing, mod algebraic equivalence. And I'll denote this by AR of X, which is not the notation. Some of you will use AR for the left, but I will not. So this is a natural map where we go from cycles modulo algebraic equivalence to modulo rational equivalence to cycles modulo algebraic equivalence. And in the Bloch-Ogas paper, it's observed, and this is sort of in the background of much of what transpires, is that
if you tensor mod L for some integer L, this is an isomorphism. So. So this is an interesting phenomenon. So in some sense, not much of interest for us to ask if we're looking mod L for some L, cycles modulo algebraic equivalence. So we're going to actually be interested in rational information more than other matters. And then there's also Bloch's formula comes in some sense, in the following way, also in this paper with Arthur. And the formula is, instead of putting K-theory here, one puts, if this is over the complex numbers, then you put some like singular cohomology and you sheepify it, then this becomes codimension S cycles modulo algebraic equivalence. So cycles modulo algebraic equivalence. Looks pretty familiar. Looks somewhat like cycles modulo rational equivalence. All of you work on. So then the next paper I wanted to mention was Spencer's paper in Advances. And I spent some time trying to understand this paper, and I even spent some time with Ofer Gaber trying to understand this paper, and we struggled with it, and I think that it really influenced a lot of the parallel stuff that happened with Lawson homology and whatever. So here is the Bloch-Sayre Chow groups. In all their glory, and what Blaine Lawson and I developed a parallel theory, which is going to be at least implicit in what will transpire soon. And it turns out that that this parallel theory is sort of, this is the tip of the iceberg of Bloch-Sayre Chow groups on the left, and this, in this context, Lawson homology on the right, and they're both bi-indexed. And it's still true that with finite coefficients, they're isomorphic. So the hint that came from Bloch-Ogis follows through in this context for higher homotopy groups. So around about this time, well, actually somewhat earlier, there are various conjectures, but Spencer made some conjecture in his Duke notes. So there's the Bloch-Kotto conjecture. Then Bloch-Bailenson conjecture. So many of these conjectures, well, there are a few more, like Sully vanishing conjecture. So I'm going to mention these conjectures in the context of cycles modulo algebraic equivalence. And you'll see these have integral, i.e., can one say mod 0? So I'll say not mod L, but integral analogs, which seem to be very hard, but quite interesting. So this isn't quite chronological, but just a second. So a little earlier there was a paper by Spencer and Srinivas. This is an American Journal, 1983. And this gave a computational technique for degenerate varieties, which a student of mine, just finishing, Richard Vonnegut, has extended the work of Mark Walker, Christian Hasmeyer, myself, to give some computations. So this is Spencer wasn't looking at cycles modulo algebraic equivalence at that time. Then, maybe the only paper in my backpack, which I keep carrying around, hoping that somehow by carrying it I'll finally understand it, is I believe this is the first paper of Spencer's and Allen's, Block and O. This is in Math and Allen in 1996. They show, they give a, they construct cycles which are non-torsion, non-divisible, let's say in the Griffiths group. So in this case, very definitely it's related to cycles modulo algebraic equivalence. And then the last reference that I can think of some people in the audience is a paper by Spencer and Steve Lichtenbaum. This is the as far as I know, it has not appeared. This gives a motivic spectral sequence. Which was later extended from fields to general varieties by Andre Sussman, myself, and Todd Levine. But it'll come up in what we're doing. This has an analog for, let's say, mod algebraic equivalence. So you'll undoubtedly hear a lot of number theory and other matters that regulators come up today that aren't reflected at all, but here are some of Spencer's papers and works very much impacting upon just study of cycles modulo algebraic equivalence. Okay, so let's think a little bit about what we'd like to do with this cycles modulo algebraic equivalence. The first question is, what do we mean by cycles modulo algebraic equivalence? And I'm not so sure. So here's a maybe a tentative definition, and I'll explain to you why I'm tentative in a moment. And this is has arisen in long conversations with myself, Christian Hasemeyer, and Mark Walker. What we're trying to do is look at
this
theory of cycles module algebraic equivalence for varieties over quite a general field. And we, Mark Walker and I have developed quite a good theory, a K-theory and a cycle theory, for varieties over the reals and the complexes. And we still don't have a formulation for varieties over a more general field. So what's arising at this point is, what should we do for varieties over more general fields? And the first question is, what do we mean by mod algebraic equivalence? So let's see what my definition says. What we say here is, for cycles, we'll define cycles modulo algebraic equivalence to be, this should be the quotient. Oh, X. Let's say X is, at the moment, it just is a variety over a field. Yeah. So if the field is something like finite, we're going to get rational equivalence. Roughly. A variety means reduced scheme of finite type. Oh, yeah. It always means quasi-projective, for example, too. I mean, I think that's part of the... So it should be the quotient of all cycles, of all R cycles, mod images of... we look at cycles on... X cross a curve and take two rational points. And maybe we better make these cycles flat over a curve. So now what, pardon? I haven't finished this yet, but pardon? No. No, so now what we need to do and what we're motivated by is what happens for the reals is we take cycles where gamma 1 minus gamma 2 in chow 0 of the curve is infinitely divisible. So this turns out to be the right definition for looking over the real numbers. The right definition means all sorts of analogs of what happens over the complexes hold over the reals. Now, no, I don't think so. I mean, for something over algebraically closed field, it's fine, but, you know. So, for vector bundles, for K-theory, which is what we're really interested in, we'll look at vector bundles, or maybe... K-theory, modulo algebraic equivalence. Again, what we mean is we consider the quotient mod the image generated let's say of vector bundles on X cross a curve once again, we require gamma 1 minus gamma 2 to be infinitely divisible. So what, at least in over the complex numbers and also over the real numbers, what we want for mod algebraic equivalence, at least in this situation before we take homotopy groups, is we want to talk about being in the same connected component. And what we're dancing around is avoiding talking about being in the same connected component as a risky topology, which turns out not to be the right result just for K naught. So here, in over the reals, what we want to be is in this. If we look at R cycles and we put a natural topology on R cycles coming from Chow varieties, what this sort of equivalence relation does is say you're in the same real analytic connected component, which is finer than saying you're in the same Zariski. So one challenge is to extend these quotients to higher homotopy groups. So this is done, and we understand what's going on for varieties over the reals and over the complexes, but we don't over more general varieties. So let's see, what else? What was I going to say now? Well, let me now switch gears and talk about, for the moment, talk about what we do know over the reals and over the complexes. And maybe. I actually haven't thought about it. We've really, well, that's a side discussion. So let's work over the complex numbers, which is the simplest thing. And now, so how do I present this? That was either thunder or my sleeve rubbing against the microphone. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the homotopy groups for a start of this space. This is the definition of Lawson homology. And it's here that we're using over the complexes or over the reals. We're using analytic topology to take homotopy groups. Now, got the homology degree. This theory is, in theory, easier to compute for a start, pi naught of this is just cycles modulo algebraic equivalence. And for example, one reason why it's easier to compute, as you'll see immediately, is if X is a surface, well, it would be nice to know what something about codimension two cycles on a surface, but in our theory, in this situation, if we want to look at zero cycles on a surface, or in fact on any gadget, then the homotopy groups here are just the ordinary singular homology groups. If this is quasi-projected, it's Borel-Moore theory. So what this tells us, that this is true more generally for X as surface, but for affects any variety, but in particular, Bloch's conjecture is not a factor. So this theory turns out to be, should be, quite a bit easier to work with, and one of my, the points of my discussion is how difficult it is and how little we understand about it, even though certain things become much simpler. So maybe I should do... Do I have time for an example? Maybe just do... Example. So, we have here Lawson homology. Now, Lawson homology is the exact algebraic equivalence analog of Bloch's higher child groups. And there is a parallel theory, if you look at motivic homology, with some sort of coefficients, H star. This has an exact parallel with what Lane Lawson and I call morphic homology. And there's also a completely good parallel. Again, this is for either over the reals or over the complexes, not over a general field. We have algebraic K-theory, with coefficients or not. And this has a completely exact parallel with what Mark Walker and I call semi-topological K-theory. And on the right, what has happened is we've gone modulo algebraic equivalence, or what's reflected here, and the way I've thought about it is we've put some sort of topology on cycles, the analytic topology, and we work in a topological context. Working modulo algebraic equivalence in child varieties means working more or less moving by continuous, not necessarily algebraic definitions. Oh, so I was going to do an example. So, for example, we're going, maybe the simplest, maybe I'll stick with K-theory. We have the K-theory of X maps to the semi-topological K-theory of X maps to the topological K-theory of the analytic space. This is minus one connected complex topological K theory. And what we see, and we will see, is that this map is very interesting. Whereas this map is pretty trivial. And we can start out, for example, for X a curve, what we see is that, or for X a, or a surface, let me write it. This map has a huge divisible kernel and this mountain is injected. Often an isomorphism. So the goal in working mod algebraic equivalence is to compute some of these invariants on the right-hand side. That's one goal. Another goal is to extend the definition to more general fields. And another goal is to figure out what we've got once we've done all that. So let me tell you a little bit about this. Tell you my motivating example for all of this is x to be a point. If x is a point, then the k-theory of the complex numbers is very puzzling. At one time, Maxim Kontsevich told me he thought he had a fairly good understanding of pieces of it. I'm not sure exactly what that means. We know how big it is. If we look mod L, we look at k-theory with finite coefficients, and Andre Suslin tells us exactly what's going on. Well, what does it mean even to talk about the k-theory of, say, the complex numbers? Whereas, again, if we're looking at spec C or spec R for that matter, the k-theory here of a point, again, is isomorphic to the k-theory, just the ordinary topological k-theory of a point. So in the case of a point, this is isomorphic and this is mysterious. And it seems like for many geometric questions, this map is the interesting map to consider. And just for fun, I can't remember who, one of my collaborators and I reformulated the Hodge conjecture in terms of this map. We have various conjectures, just trying to understand what this map is. That's not to say we understand anything about it. So let's look a little bit at relationships. And then you'll actually see what's going on here, and we'll also, the relationships will be between the cycle theories, in fact, on the cohomological side rather than the Borel-Moore cohomology. Cycle theories and the K-theories. So the relationships correspond to homotopy groups, and how did I index this? So I'm somewhat relieved that when I was writing this paper with Andre Suslin, he got as confused as I with the indexing of the Bloch-Lichtenbaum spectral sequence, but so the way I'm going to index it, because I can see it easily, is and I won't worry about what E, this is some E2. This will converge to algebraic K-theory. So let's say X is smooth, quasi-projective for the complex numbers, for example. So this will converge to 2Q minus N of X with Z mod L coefficients. Actually, I'm going to want Z mod L to stand for an arbitrary abelian group. So it's probably not a very good letter for an arbitrary abelian group. That's not a good letter either. So this is the motivic spectral sequence that relates Bloch's higher Chow groups or motivic cohomology to algebraic K theory. And then Mark Walker, Christian Hasmeier, and I developed a spectral sequence which goes from this morphic cohomology, dual to Lawson homology. Now we better look at the A coefficients. And this goes to the K-theory algebraic cycle mod algebraic equivalent analog of algebraic K-theory. And then we have the topological, the classical Thiele-Hertzsprung spectral sequence. All these spectral sequences come from filtering spaces, and nowadays Mark Levine and others say we use a slice filtration, but this all comes from some sort of space or filtered situation on some sort of structure spectrum or something. So this is converging to topological K-theory. Okay, so there are maps between these spectral sequences. We've refined this. So at the abutment level, we get that composition. And this map is an ISO for A equals Z mod L. And this map is an ISO if, let's put it this way, for A equals Z, if we invert the bot element. Now what, so, A is C. This abelian group. And moreover, what else can we say? These spectral sequences, maybe we should say there are natural spectral sequences which degenerate at E2 upon tensoring with Q. Or if you want, taking A equals Q. So this is, for this picture, this is in Spencer's advances paper. And so this is the picture of going from cycles modulo rational equivalence to cycles modulo algebraic equivalence to cycles modulo topological equivalence. So if we wanted just to look at rational coefficients, we can just look at, which is what we're interested in, since this is an isomorphism for finite coefficients, anything we'd say about cycles modulo algebraic equivalence, if we're thinking C equals Z mod L, we might as well just go back to the more classical Chow theory. Chow? Yep. Ah, very good. The S is the same as the Q. Thank you, Victor. Yep. So, since this is an isomorphism mod L, and this would take as known, although we don't know it at all, we concentrate much more on the rational theory, so we're interested over here in the rational theory. And then what we see is that we can look at either the K-theory or the cohomology theory and identify the two. In particular, so we're interested in the right-hand map. And the role of the Griffiths group comes up as so. If we think of the kernel of ARX, which is cycles modulo algebraic equivalence, H2RX analytic. And Griffiths would have put a Q here. This is the Griffiths. So at the pi naught, the homotopy group is here. So at the pi naught level, that's LQ, H2Q to H2Q here, the kernel of the map here, or the kernel of the map here, corresponds to the Griffiths group. So even at pi zero, which is in some sense what we're really interested in, this map is interesting, but not well understood at all. I might comment that this composition, if you just go from algebraic K-theory to topological K-theory, in positive degrees, tensor Q, this map is zero. Composition is zero. So we have some sort of funny situation where this map is an isomorphism mod L. This map is zero tensor Q in positive degrees. And this map is very, very interesting in positive degrees. Okay, so let me explain the sort of questions. And I didn't do my homework in preparation to prepare this talk. There's an epigram at the beginning of Spencer's Duke notes. So the reference is Block, Duke note, where he quotes a famous philosopher who was a big hero in our youth on American television. He was a Chinese detective. And I can't remember the quote, unfortunately, but it's so applicable here. It's something like, answer simple, question very, very hard. So what are the questions we want to ask? Well, the first we've already seen is generalize this theory to more general base fields. A good starting base field might be, even to see what's going on, would be to take the complex numbers, adjoin a variable, and close it up. Now, what's interesting in, there's a perfectly elementary field, and one interesting thing about cycles modular algebraic equivalent is AR of X. If you look at AR of X over the complexes, and then you tensored it up to AR of K, this is an isomorphism. So there's some interesting, it's invariant under base change of algebraically closed fields, and this theory should be also. And this tells us that working mod algebraic equivalence does not commute with colimits. Okay, so we've already seen this question. So another question, which is timely because it's just about to get erased. So for what special, let's say, complex or real algebraic varieties or at least we have some definitions. This is a map from this algebraic equivalence analog of cycles modulo algebraic. This K-theory analog of cycles modulo algebraic equivalence to topological K-theory and isomorphism. It just doesn't happen when we're working from algebraic K-theory, but it does happen for various varieties. In this algebraic equivalence analog. And so examples, well, we already know how to generate lots of counterexamples whenever there's a Griffiths group. This isn't an isomorphism, because right at degree zero, the kernel is measured exactly by the Griffiths group. So examples are in a linear variety, for example, a toric variety or something like a Grassmannian. Mercher Vonnegut has seen that any rationally connected generalizing work of Mark Walker, Christian Hasemeyer, and myself, any rationally connected threefold. Oh, it's built up cellular in terms of cells. It's a little more general than just a cellular variety built up of cells. Something somewhat more general than a flat variety. I think the term was introduced by Levine Janssen. So for particularly nice varieties, this is going to be an isomorphism. Just to give you some idea, the first example, other than the point that we saw this was an isomorphism, was for any curve, not necessarily projected, not necessarily smooth, that Mark Walker and I did. And we used computations of Francis Kerwin to do this. And so I'll just... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't. When you if you think of this as a colimit of field K over C of T, and you try and see what's happening in the colimit, and you do this sort of theory, you're going to get all sorts of if you take a colimit here, you'll get much, much more. So somehow, what seems to be happening, I don't actually understand this, but what seems to be happening is that you take some sort of colimit and throw away divisible stuff to get back to cycles modulo algebraic equivalence. But if you take some sort of naive theory, so if you're thinking in K theory, so you can take it the direct limit, then the colimit of these things, as you're taking the fields bigger and bigger, just grows. So, such a statement of an isomorphism has the following geometric meaning. Let's over the reals and complexes, but let's say it's over the complexes. If we look at all algebraic morphisms from X to Grassmannians, and then we put some sort of analytic topology on these, on this morphism set in group complete. And this maps naturally to the mapping space of X analytic to the representing gadget for topological K-theory. So this is some huge mapping space. Both sides are given with compact open topology. This, for X projective, this is relatively small, and to say that this is a to say we have an isomorphism, if there's an isomorphism, is to say this is a homotopy equivalence. So this homotopy equivalence, the geometric is equivalent to an isomorphism over there. So for certain special varieties, one can take this topological mapping space and model it on a much smaller, almost finite dimensional space of algebraic morphisms. The chimes are telling me I should quit, but let me tell you maybe more important punchline about where this is going. And then I will quit. We can ask for conjectures about what exactly is going on here. What is this theory, or what is the and to make it quick, I will formulate various analogs. So these are over the integers. So the first one, I'll do them in chronological order, was done by Barry Mazur and myself, and we didn't have the technology to say this, but we conjectured that LSHN of X, which is what's called morphic homology. Is zero for n negative. So this is the exact analog of the Baelins and Soulet vanishing. And in terms of homotopy groups, this is saying that the spaces of cycles, or phrase this way, co-cycles, has vanishing homotopy groups in high dimensions. And then Andre Suslin generalizes conjecture. So remember, by our special sequence, the cohomology theory is basically equivalent to the K theory. So Suslin's conjecture in terms of cohomology, let's make this a Q. LQHN of X to just the singular cohomology with various coefficients, but let's leave it in an integral as an iso for n less than or equal to Q, and a mono for n equals Q plus 1. Tell you about this, but this has an analog that can be phrased in terms of, thanks to work of Christian Hasmar, Mark Walker, and myself, there's a equivalent Locke-Baelinson conjecture, again with integer coefficients. But let me tell you the analog of the Bloch-Kotto conjecture, which is so this one would say, well, maybe this is actually Quillen-Lichtenau. I wanted to stick Spencer's name in the name. Conjecture would be that this monalgebraic equivalence guy should be isomorphic to the topological guy for n bigger or equal to dimension of x minus 1 and mono for dimension of x minus 2. So I'll finish by just saying none of these conjectures what? Has either has there been a counterexample for, nor has there been a useful example to confirm it. All examples we can compute are too easy to tell us whether any of these conjectures are likely to be true. Okay, I think. Yes.
Your
Yes. Does that seem reasonable? I mean, it's sort of, I don't know, it just, it doesn't seem like for finitely generated fields, this sort of notion of algebraic equivalence or topological equivalence, as I like to think of it, just degenerates to rational equivalence from this point of view. Maybe it's the wrong definition, since we haven't really got any good. We have all sorts, at times we've written down all sorts of properties we want for our theory, and as far as I know, these properties may be inconsistent, except for over the reals and the complexes. But it suggests that for finitely generated fields, we're just getting the usual algebraic K-theory motivic cohomology.
What about for something like a p-adic field?
Yeah, good question. That is, in some sense, the most interesting first example to consider. Maybe not the easiest, but at least you have a topology there. Whether that topology is a relevant topology or not, I don't know.
So what should be zero cycles, what algebraic equivalence on a curve?
So let's see, what should be zero cycles? You tell me.
Spencer's shirking, so that means he's done the computation he's going to tell us. I think I want divisible. No, I don't. I think I want divisible. Oh, this divisibility, funny things happen if we work in characteristic P, as Chad Schoen has shown us. So maybe all bets are off. But of course, your p-adic fields aren't in characteristic P, but maybe I have to stay even further away. I don't know. So it's all completely open what's going on.